Hi, good morning. This is Ian. I'll be giving the message today. Today, the message will be on Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come to you in the morning, just seeking your peace and seeking your word, seeking nourishment in our souls, and just seeking for the strength. Lord, that comes from you. Lord, may your words nourish us. May your word also give us strength. May your word also warn us and prepare us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will fill our minds, fill our hearts, fill the rooms in which we are present, Lord. And just guide us in all your ways. Guide us in all our understanding. Guide us in our thoughts. And help us, Lord, to be true to you, true Christians, Lord. Create in us a clean heart and ready soil to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Mark 4, chapter 1 to 20. The parable of the sower. Again, he began to teach beside the area, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some soil fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The purpose of the parables. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and there are the ones, and there, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the word. Takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." Think the parable of the sower is actually quite a popular parable, and one that many of us, many Christians, have heard time and time again, and many sermons have been preached on it as well. And yet, it's one of the most powerful and most troubling parables, because I feel it comes packed with warning and caution as well. For those who are Christians as well as those who are Christians. And this is one of the first parables that Jesus opens up with. And if you are aware, Jesus actually gives a lot of parables. He teaches his disciples, he teaches people with many different parables. And a lot of times I've noticed that the parables themselves, they do overlap in some themes. And if you're familiar with the parable of the talent, that is also a parable in which there is a message, and there's a warning and there's a caution for fellow believers as well. And so, turning to the parable of the sower, this is obviously explained by Jesus. Jesus gives the first parable, and then Jesus also explains the parable to the disciples so that it is quite plain for the disciples. It's also quite plain for us when we hear it. But I mean, the key is what we do with this parable. What do we do after hearing a parable like this? In fact, Jesus even goes as far as to say, this is the secret to the kingdom of God. Often we feel that we need to read the whole Bible, the whole text and everything in order to really fully understand and to live a good Christian life. And don't get me wrong, that is absolutely true. But also we can often overlook and neglect certain details as well, simple details. I think Jesus always spoke in parables because that was the easiest way in which people who were, let's say, illiterate could understand the gospel. And so even within a short parable such as this lies great truth, great depth, and great importance and significance for non-believers as well as believers. And he goes as far as to say, this is the secret to the kingdom of God. So let's just look into the seed again, the seeds that were sown. I think it's plain that when the seed it falls along paths and the birds come and devour it, it's safe to say, I think, that this is when somebody has heard the word. And oftentimes, people can hear the word on television, through friends, through perhaps fridge magnets. A lot of first world people have heard of Christianity and heard the message, heard the gospel. But oftentimes, the hardness of our hearts make it irrelevant to us. And that's when Jesus says, that's exactly the devil's work. The devil's work, in fact, is not just to take away the word, but to ensure that the ground of our heart is so hard, that it just the seed just simply falls onto the ground and bounces off the ground. And it's a imagery that is actually very telling of what's going on in the world today. In fact, the world today is hostile many times to the gospel. I mean, we have extreme situations, let's say in the Middle East, in India as well, in China, where sometimes the environment is so hostile to the gospel. People will be killed, people will be persecuted for even preaching the word. And so, in those cases, it is very clear that it's not just humans that themselves who are hostile to the word, but also Satan has been working an overdrive to create such an environment, such a toxic and violent environment, where the word simply doesn't have a chance to set foot in a person's heart. So that's the case when someone isn't even a Christian, someone even doesn't even believe. Now, then we go slowly down the spectrum towards people who may have starts to believe. They may even have professed Christ as their savior, and that's when the caution starts to come out, and that's when I myself start to get more worried as I read through the different examples. So the next one is when seed falls on rocky ground and it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, but it had no depth of soil. And so when the sun rose, it scorched, and because it had no root and it withered away. Now, what does it mean when there's not enough soil, there's not enough depth? I think it's also goes back to what we often say: someone is simply so shallow that person doesn't have much depth. We speak like that many times as well, and we know what it means. It means that we simply haven't really put the time and effort, maybe, to just grow in character, to grow in a certain way which is mature. We talk about it in the secular way, and I think it's just the same as we talk about it in the spiritual way as well. Spiritually, I sometimes cringe. In fact, I do cringe at times when people simply focus on the fact that somebody has, let's say, said the sinner's prayer. Somebody has decided to accept Christ into their hearts, and then there is this sense of elation which I share with. But then oftentimes the part where I cringe is when they think that's the be all and end all, that that's a done deal. And a lot of this, I feel, is entrenched in especially the Western type of gospels that we hear in the Western side, when it's all about the forgiveness of sins. It's all about just believing and proclaiming the name of Jesus. It's a, and then from then on you're saved and saved for life, and it's just guaranteed. And I don't want to blaspheme. I don't want to say the wrong thing or preach the wrong thing, but I feel myself personally that that can be a dangerous path to go down, because that can often create the conditions for that shallow soil that has no depth, because there's just this lack of awareness that we also need to grow in spiritual maturity, right? We also need to grow in spiritual maturity to ensure that after we receive the word of joy, after we receive that joy and have all the signs that accompany being a Christian, we don't forget that that is only the beginning, and that there will be trials, there will be times of difficulty. Each of us will experience different levels of difficulty and testing, not because God is trying to test us, but simply because that was good. That was always going to happen. In our lives, there's no one person on the face of this planet that doesn't go through a certain level of trial and persecution. And it's only then when our faith is being tested. And so the need to grow in spiritual maturity is extremely important as it is for any individual to grow, to learn, to be educated, and to have depth of character as a human being. And so then we following on, we move on to those where they've received the word, right? And perhaps even had good soil to receive the word. And perhaps even they've been a Christian for a long time. But the difference here that Jesus is explaining is that there are going to be certain thorns that sprout out, right? In fact, it's sown, he says, there are others that are so other ones that's where the seeds are sown among thorns, right? They are those who hear the word, But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word. So this is one imagery, one example where Jesus is giving, where it's quite different. So he's saying in this scenario, this person already has an environment, right, where there is potential danger, right? So a good example what he gives is somebody who was perhaps born into wealth, right? Or somebody who is just inherently wealthy, right? Self-made, let's say. And then they receive the word. So in their current condition, they already have so-called thorns that can potentially choke the word and make it unfruitful. They let's say are receiving it late in their life stage, where they already have a lot of things going for them. And these are actually not necessarily bad things, but they can be turned into bad things. Now, don't forget that Jesus is also began the parable talking about Satan, our enemy, right, who is there to manipulate especially the world around us, so that what can be good things and end up being bad things for us. And so in this case, there is the deceitfulness of riches, not the riches in themselves, but the deceitfulness of riches, right? It's the deceitfulness of that. And where does deceit come from? It comes from the enemy who has always been lying to us, the father of lies, right? And then, but we can't just blame Satan for every single thing. So Jesus goes on to say, there's also the desires for other things. So our own desires, our own selfish, fleshly desires for other things enter in and choke the word. Now, what can that be? It could mean a wide range of things, right? That besides wealth, there's also the desire for influence, desire for power, desire for just more of everything. Right. In this day and age, we don't have to go far to say that, everything, all the social media, every single media around us is shouting out and screaming for attention to say more is needed. You can have more, you can achieve more. And that's when we get distracted from what is our real mission after becoming Christian. And so then the word that we receive just becomes unfruitful, right? And for the longest time, I would have thought, oh, well, at least the word, the seed is still in the soil. It's almost like, well, yes, it's unfruitful. We haven't done much with it, but at least we're saved. At least we are still a Christian, right? It doesn't say anything worse than just being unfruitful, right? But then I would caution as well, because a lot of the other parables of Jesus, if you read on, talk about just examples when no return is being made. So, for example, the parable of the talents, right? It became that the one that the wicked servant, the one who was thrown into hell, was the one who returned, who did not bear any investment return, right? And you would think, well, what's so evil about that? He just simply gave back what he had. And that's the same thing here. Well, the seed was simply sown. We didn't grow it, but we didn't destroy it. Right, the birds of the air didn't come and take it. Satan didn't seem to take it away, right? It didn't sprout out, and it didn't get scorched. I mean, it was a fruit that just grew among thorns, right? It just grew among thorns, and maybe it just wasn't able to create a huge crop. What's so bad about that? I think we may never know. Jesus talked in parables, he talked in mysteries as well. We cannot possibly be certain about every single interpretation, but my way of the way I go about things in the Bible is that I also always consider the most stringent or the most stern interpretation. And in my mind, being unfruitful is equivalent to the wicked servant who just didn't return anything. And there's the chance of that resulting in us just simply not being a true believer at all, right? In fact, you don't have to look very far, but the parable of the lamp under the basket follows this parable, and it says at the end in verse 25, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Right? For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, that is a scary thought, and that's only a couple of verses that follow right after the parable of the sower. So you can see why sometimes I tend to take the most stern interpretation, because that's probably the, you can say, the safest way to interpret the scriptures. Now, then it goes on. The happy ending is that, but to those that were sown on good soil and are the ones who hear the word and accept and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's an amazing picture. That is an amazing testament of somebody who has received the word of Christ and has gone on just to multiply. Whether that multiplication looks like evangelism, where they've preached the word to many people, or whether it's simply doing a good work, continuing to do a good work, or even starting a new ministry, it doesn't matter. I think my personal take on it is that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it really depends then on God and our cooperation with God. In other parables, it talks about us, the laborers, are the ones, right? Us being the laborers who sow the seeds, but it's really God who causes the seed to grow. And so there are these things when we need to work hand in hand with God, we may not necessarily be the ones to determine or dictate, whether this will be 30-fold, 60-fold ministry, or 100-fold ministry. We simply don't know, right? And if you think about the parable of the talents, Jesus actually he praised the servants in the same way. Whether they returned, a small fold or a many fold, he praised them and called them and told them, "Well done, good servant," right? And another example is the parable of the seed growing, right? The parable of the seed growing again is just a few more lines down here, and it goes like this. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come." All right, and he also talks about the mustard seed and how the mustard seed begins with a small seed, but then it grows large enough so that the birds of air can even make nests in the shade, right? I think it is, safe to say that our faith depends a lot on our own self-discipline. It depends on our own hard work, but ultimately it also depends on God. It depends on the Holy Spirit, who we have to invite on a daily basis to help grow us and to help keep the soil in our hearts fertile. Fertile for God and fertile for multiplication in everything that we do for God. And so this parable really speaks to me even after I've read it over and over again, because it just reminds me to take check of my own heart. It reminds me especially the last two examples. which maybe apply to you as well, you know, that we genuinely believe that Jesus is the Christ. We genuinely, you know, go to church and worship God, with all our hearts. But the moment we step out of church, we are just faced with this incredible challenge. Whether it's challenges that come in the form of trials and testing, or whether it's in the form of external things, like riches or whatever it is, we immediately were faced with decisions. We're faced with what do we do with our faith in those situations, right? And so they're not two distinct ways of living. In fact, we interchange between these two or three worlds, right? We interchange because the soil, I believe, is soil which we need to tend to. We, you know, if it's true that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is the one that produces and causes whatever seed or plant to produce the harvest, to produce the fruit, right? Whether it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, then our job is to make sure that there is soil to do that. Our job is to tend to the soil of our hearts, right? Our job is to make sure that the thorns and the weeds don't grow in our hearts, to identify that and to pluck them out. Our job is to make sure that the soil level is sufficient or even deep enough, that we're mature enough, right? That we read the word, that we understand the word, not just superficially, that we go deep, that we ourselves ask the questions amongst our friends to understand faith a bit better. We have that responsibility. We can do it ourselves, right? That is something which we can definitely do, and that creates a direct result from then. And we are the ones to make sure that nothing else chokes up the soil, that it remains good and fertile soil. We have to take responsibility for the condition of our hearts as well. But at the same time, the beauty of it is Jesus himself is also there to forgive us, to give us grace. And my warning, if anything, is just to not take it for granted. I have to confess that I take it for granted. I confess that I sometimes flippantly use this forgiveness and this grace and this mercy and rely on it too much, that I neglect my own responsibility to make sure that I'm walking in the faith, to ensure that my soil is fertile. So I think it's that dance. It's the dance between us and God, to just make sure that we are in tune with God, that we are taking up our cross ourselves, but also relying on God, so as not to overburden ourselves when our strength fails. So I've prepared a song, a very simple song, and my prayer is that as we listen to this song, we pray and we ask God to really just to create a fertile environment for ourselves, for our spirits, for our souls, just to you know, grow and to be pleasing to Him. Okay, so
Okay,
let's
so
move
let's
on
move on
to. Our community prayer. Let's pray for our community, who are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for healing, pray for continued strength, for their family members. Pray for just the Spirit of God, to rest over their bodies, to remove all the cancer cells in the name of Jesus. Let's also pray that the Spirit of God will also tend to them and minister to them as they fight the cancer. That their faith will grow. Move on, and let's also pray for those suffering from illnesses, various illnesses, but also those who need to hear the word, and need to receive the word. So also pray for those suffering from other various types of infirmities. Let's pray for them, physical healing. Let's also pray for those suffering from COVID. Also pray for protection, for our frontline medical workers. Let's also pray for those of us looking for jobs. Let's also move on to our mission focus, praying for Cambodia, Oasis House, and Pastor Jenny, praying for North Korea, missional opportunities, as well as the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings as well, Sunday services, well ministry, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SPU, spin, spill services and activities, classes and outreaches and all the meetings. Let's pray also for those of us mothers who are pregnant. So, also pray for the house churches that are meeting up on the weekend, Bowen, Hollywood, Mount One, Southside. That comes to the end of EMP. Thank you for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.